Good morning and welcome to the Leadership and Insurance Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Bond, and I'm very lucky today to be joined by James, CEO of Attune. James, I'm saying good morning. I have to get used to that, but it is afternoon, but we'll release it in the morning. So we'll go with the morning. How
Well,
are
good
you?
morning, man.
Well, James, as is customary on the Leadership and Insurance Podcast, it'd be wonderful if you could introduce yourself and the Attune business.
Yeah, great. Well, first, thanks for having me, Alex. Happy to be here. As you said, James, I'm the CEO of Attune and been lucky to be in this role for about 7 years since we started the company. You know, Attune, I think our mission is pretty simple. We want to make insurance as easy as it should be. And there's a lot that goes into sort of should. But fundamentally, we are focused on helping small businesses get the insurance they need. And we do that by enabling small retail agents to serve those small businesses in their community. So they can really act as that trusted advisor, that person that the small business can go to, but they can use our platform, our technology to get the products and services they need to make that a enjoyable transaction.
Amazing. I don't know if I'm just biasly quite obsessed with small business insurance or it's just I'm a small business owner, so it kind of has just a resonance with me and a relevance to me. But something that I wanted to talk about was actually, you know, there's a sort of specific challenges and pain points of small business insurance that you're trying to address, because it is an area that's had a lot of investment recently. There's been lots of products launched in the SMB space, particularly in the US. Why is it underserved, I think? And then yeah, what are the unique challenges of that area of the market, which allows opportunities for businesses like Attune to launch launch and provide something different?
Yeah, well, that could probably take the all our time together, because I too love small businesses.
That's fine. We could do that. That's
but
absolutely
I think,
okay.
You know, I think if you uncheck, you know, sort of unpack it a bit, and I was really lucky to be part of a company called OnDeck before we started Attune, where, you know, we focused on small business lending, and I fell in love with small businesses there. And, you know, you go out and you visit them and you talk to them and you do realize small businesses are the backbone of our economy and they're just awesome people. So the challenge that you have, and especially within financial services, I think, is these small businesses are commercial entities. And when you talk about being in a risk-based business, you need to understand them like a complex commercial entity. But at the end of the day, the financial products they need are often smaller than, you know, kind of large personal financial products. So the challenge you have is how do you bring processes and rigor that were designed to understand much larger enterprises down market? Now, the thing that gets me excited about that is I think it is literally perfectly tailored for technology and for data and analytics. And so I think, you know, at Attune, I came into this with the idea of understanding very, very little about the insurance process and how businesses got the insurance they need, but I was pretty confident that we could make it better. So I think for Attune, what it's been is a journey of understanding what better was, right? And the first thing we learned that was not intuitive to me as an outsider is these businesses want advisors, right? So they wanted a broker. So if you think about 7, 8 years ago, the insure tech theme of the day, if you will, was brokers are dying. That was wrong. I think you can definitively say that was wrong. So we learned that pretty quickly, and we started focusing on how can we help a broker? And really what we wanted to do is we wanted to take all the work off their plate, and we wanted to use technology to help them so they could really focus on just giving advice through that process and make sure that that small business owner gets the right coverage, gets the right products, because that, I think, was getting lost in a lot of the friction and a lot of the back and forth. So I think that that's fundamentally what we were doing. And to do that, one of the other things that I found was just we had to get brokers excited about writing $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 policies. Right? Because if you think about it, they make, you know, $300, $400, or $500. But if that takes a lot of their time, if there's a lot of back and forth, it's not a good economic trade, even though they might want to help that business. So that was something in the very early days of Attune that we figured out, okay, we think we can take all the friction off. We think we can make it profitable with the broker. And those were sort of the conversations we were having, say, our second year to third, fourth year. And I think that was really resonating.
It resonates with the investment we're seeing at the moment. I suppose, like, thematically, it doesn't surprise me that we're seeing more of this, because essentially it's efficiencies, isn't it? It's like, how do you do this efficiently? How do you make it profitable? brokers. And I agree with you. And it's really interesting looking at those early days of insurtech, and it was like, well, distribution model is broken. And you kind of arguably go, no, distribution is the one thing that's pretty solid. You know, we've got that. It's just like, I haven't got the tools to do the job. And I bore everyone. If anyone listens to this podcast regularly, they hear this story all the time. But I'm staggered by how bad it is as a small business owner to buy insurance for my sector. Because the amount of information that people don't have that I need, you know, and the one I always talk about is professional indemnity. I've started doing business I do a lot of business in the US. No insurance entity will sit there and say, this is the average size of a claim against a business of your size and style and industry in the US. So therefore, this is the amount of coverage you need. And it's staggering that I can't get that. And I ask that question every year. It's literally like it's my little renewal entertainment thing. I was like, I'm gonna ask this question and see if anyone can answer it. And they can't. And you know, it shows you how, just on a very simple level, how inefficient it is for me to effectively buy insurance. And then the other side of it is, without the broker, you are at risk of being underinsured. And so the idea that the broker is not there correctly, you know, like, small businesses are the businesses that need protection. Like, they really do. Like, the bigger businesses, it can kind of swallow up a lot of this. It's just the kind of nice way to balance out the balance sheet. So yeah, I'm a big small business fan as well. And not just because I own one. Talk to us about the kind of technology. You know, what does it really do? I love getting into this. It's like, you're improving the ability to sort of buy it from small business customers. You're improving things for the kind of the agents. How? Like, well, what does it do? And you know, I suppose, what's the evolution of that you foresee as well in the pipeline?
Well, let me, great. That again, that, so the, I think there's two questions there. Let's start with the first one with it, which is, you know, it's interesting because you just articulated a challenge that you have as a small business owner that, quite frankly, we've never thought about it at Attune and over the last 7 years. And I say that because I think that I'm a big believer in focus. And, you know, I think technology gets talked about, or you know, analytics, AI gets talked about at this big sort of micro, you know, macro level where it can do everything. And that might be true, but I think that the biggest challenge insurance has had, and a lot of, you know, sort of other industries, large industries that I've seen, is it's the adoption of technology. And that requires laser focus to sort of say, this is the one problem that we want to solve, and we think we can do it better than anyone else. And that's really, really hard. So when you narrow down everything that's possible sort of in small, you know, small business insurance, what we found, and again, it was a journey we had to navigate and learn our way there, was, okay, small retail agents, the, you know, sole agency out there, or call it, you know, the one with a couple producers, which, by the way, is 40 to 50% of the insurance market when you look across the US, but highly fragmented, was where there was the most need. It was the most underserved part of the market. And I, you know, I say technology is a great equalizer, because technology does not care if your business card, you know, says like Aon, or it says, you know, my first name, last name, agency. If you come on our platform, you get the same thing, right? And technology is great at aggregating long tails. So what we did was, that's what we said, is, okay, let's focus on this customer. Let's obsess about this customer. Our customer is the broker. Now, we care deeply that we're enabling that broker to help a small business. And we feel very strongly about that mission, if you will, of helping small businesses. But you have to be really focused, because at the beginning, I wanted to say both were our customer. You can't do that. You can only have one customer. And so what our technology does is, if you think about it, there's the getting insurance and there's the managing the insurance. I think most of the activity has been happening on getting insurance. Can we make the quote easy? Can we get you multiple quotes, raters? Can we do bind, you know, straight through? And that's great. And so we have all of that. But we actually have taken steps further to say, can we build tools that will help our brokers feel like they can expand the role in how they advise their customers, right? And a great one is cyber. We added the cyber product with Coalition. It's a fantastic product. I think it is, and I say this, you know, independently, but I think it is a truly sort of transformative cyber product. It's one that no small businesses know that they really need, and one that the brokers have trouble selling. So to make that product successful, we had to do a lot more than enable the fact that you could quote and bind it within minutes in our on our platform. We had to build a bunch of tools that helped the broker feel like they could advise the business and help get them the insurance they need. And we were able to do that in partnership. So I think that what we've been trying to do is we've been trying to use the technology and the data to enable brokers to do more there. And then what we've done is we've tried to remove all that post-buying friction, right? Because that's where we found that a lot of the brokers' sort of margin just evaporated because, they felt like they might be able to get somebody a policy and maybe there was a, some back and forth, but that was good. But then they realized they had to interact four times. And it was for simple stuff. It was like billing. Well, they're on a 10 pay. Where are they? When was their last payment in? And I think we even overlooked that in the early days, right? Like we've built three billing solutions. I'm embarrassed to say that. You should never have to build more than two. But it took us three tries to get it right. Now we have this amazing billing experience. And when we launched the third one, we finally got it right. The feedback we got from our brokers was amazing. And I'm like, really? It's just billing. But the fact that it was always a point of friction, and then we've made it something that there's no friction was really powerful. So I just think it's a combination of a bunch of little things. There's not one sort of, one sort of secret thing that we've found that unlocked the whole thing. It's just really focusing on that customer and trying to understand the challenges they have on a day-to-day, and then figuring out those that we can solve. And quite frankly, at times, sometimes we say we can't solve it, and that's okay.
It's the simplicity is so undersold as a virtue of no technology. I don't think when people talk about it, but I think technology immediately it's really easy to leap to doing something really complicated and clever. And I was reminded of this yesterday. I was with a client yesterday, and we were talking about adoption, and we were saying that you can have the best tech solution. And but you can't sit there and shout at people and say our tech's better than your tech. So why aren't you using it? Like, you're stupid if you don't use this, because you can drag the horse to water. You can't force it to drink. That analogy. And I was really reminded of when I first launched executive search business 10 years ago. My business partner and I, Richard, thought we'd come up with this brilliant, clever plan. So we were really into psychometric testing because I'm qualified to. Undertaken and review a few of those, and then we really liked executive coaching. So for the same price, we were going out to market and we were saying we will do psychometric testing as part of the process, and then when to help you on board and help you secure that person, we will pay for the executive coaching out of our fee. We did that for 2 years. Not one person bought it, and they just didn't want to. And so it's just always been like it sat with me on how difficult it is to get to change behavior. There is undeniably it's a better product. Not a single person wanted to buy it, and we were successful in that period, by the way. It wasn't that we didn't sell anything. We just couldn't sell a search. And I know that's a sort of very different area of the market. But you're talking about the insurance industry, and you're talking about trying to drive change. If you make my life easier, I will do it. If you make it more complicated, I won't. It seems like that's what you're talking about there. Like things like billing is this like a revelation. But if you make my billing easier, my life is infinitely better.
Well, it's so funny that you say that because I think that's right. I think adoption is what's hard, right? And we've literally been talking about this at Attune these last like 3 or 4 months, which is to say, we don't have a technical challenge. We have some sales challenges because, we've been on this journey, right? And we weren't smart enough to sort of say, hey, we want to start out, we want to serve small retail agents, and we know how to do this. It's this constant process of a journey of learning what's out there. And then I'm a believer, like in the early days, like, Azeem, who's our CTO that I was just lucky enough to find and partner with, who's brilliant. Like in the early days, I probably annoy him still today, but I annoyed him in the early days because every time we would talk about something in sort of like the V1s of us building our platform, I was like, we have to build in flexibility, we have to build in optionality because we don't know exactly what's right. And when you fast forward and you put that together and you look at our tech stack and you look at what we've built and you look at what we're great at, it's very different than what I thought we were going to be good at. And our biggest advantage today is if you were talking to somebody, an insurance carrier that you were talking to about something, and they were saying, hey, we're super interested in launching this new product, right? Whether it's a property, GL, any type of product. and we're excited and we're going to build it. They're probably looking at 18 plus months and, you know, multiple million dollars to launch that within their systems, right? And that's probably best case. We can do that in 3 to 4 months for less than $1 million. And our output of once you get that, because of the way that we designed our technology and the way all these like independent microservices work together, is it will have everything you need from how you create an account to how you then go out and get information and verify information so you can get the classification, the exposures, all that stuff right. It'll have a great experience for your customer who's a broker or somebody else. And then it will have all these post-buying features that are literally ready day one. And it will wow your customer. So you would think, okay, that's a standard. This is what we can do. I mean, my phone must be ringing off the hook. No one's calling to say, and we're interested, we're talking to a few people now, but we're interested in basically transitioning to say, hey, we just have this technology, you should be using it. You know, it's basically like a SaaS play, and there's lots of plays there. That's not how we started, but that is our biggest strength today. And so, you know, we're going on this journey to see kind of like, as you said, hey, can we offer this to people, right? You know, can we say, give us a chance to show you that we can do something really well? But the challenge is nobody's waking up this morning and saying, that's what I need to buy, or that's the problem that I have to solve, that, you know, that I have this problem that would solve. And so I think that, you know, I do think that adoption, and this is why most of the innovation happens on the outside, right? Is adoption is key for insurance, because there's so many areas. We could spend the next literally 2 to 3 hours, and it would be fun. I'll do it. But we could break down, you want to break down any step of the chain, and you could figure out here's where we could make it better, and here's where technology could help more efficient, better experience. But the reality is to then get that adopted by the large players in the industry, that's the key. Right? That's when you see real fundamental change. And I think it'll happen. Like, I've been really pleased in my time in insurance. Like, insurance companies are open and they like to talk things. So it's not like it's your DOA. It's not like they'll just say, we don't want to talk to you. But there's real challenges in how you operationalize it. Right. And I think I certainly have a much better respect for why those are there. They're not because it's not good versus bad. It's just those are really hard things to do. It's really hard to start a company. But it's also really hard to drive adoption within these larger institutions that, by the way, operate well. But so you're trying to help them operate better. It would almost be better if the industry was broken, because then they would need us. But the industry works.
That is the thing, isn't it? I think for a large part of this, you know, we're 300 odd episodes into this podcast now, and you know, I was part of the bandwagon, and bear in mind, I came from insurance industry. I used to work for a carrier. I spent a lot of time recruiting into incumbent traditional industry, and you know, loved kind of absolutely piling on and saying that, you know, they're inefficient. And you know, what's become really part of my rationalization and journey is that, you know, I said, yeah, but they're profitable and they do well, so there's
That's
a
right.
tolerance for
They
some
are
of that.
inefficient. They're definitely inefficient. Don't get me wrong. But it's working. It's not broken.
Exactly. It's like, okay, so when you're running a big business that large, or it doesn't even have to be a large insurer, it's to say, okay, it doesn't need mean it's a priority, particularly if you're trying to add additional lines, add this different distribution. It's like, do we need to make that investment? But presumably one of the benefits of the way that you operate is that they can take a bite-sized chunk. They can go, we want this net new product, let's go with that. Are there is I always think real life examples are really good. Are there like particularly interesting products that you've launched, or sort of like real success stories that were kind of, I don't know, a bit different, but innovative, that really you stick in the brain?
Yeah, well, we were just fortunate enough where, you know, we were bought by a company called Pinnacle Assurance, which is the State Workers' Comp Fund of Colorado, but it's a, you know, great company. And we had known them for a while, but we started talking to them because we thought we might be able to partner to launch a new workers' comp product. And I think that since we've been together, we were able to do that. We launched the product in the fourth quarter of last year. But the use case is this, which is, you know, because they have evolved and are a state fund, but they, you know, they're a very large state fund. They were at like half of Colorado. What that means is they have this great insurance product where they know how to do workers' comp better than anyone or as good as anyone. And it also means that they will write any sort of class, any hazard group of workers' comp. And that's a very compelling offer to a retail agent, right? Somebody who's trying to help in their market. Because oftentimes the large carriers will say, well, we'll take the lower risk stuff, but we don't want, the higher risk stuff, right? And so we were able to partner with them. We together built the product, right? They built the insurance product, but we built it all into our technology. In 2.5 months, we launched that product. And the feedback we got from our first beta groups was it's a great insurance product, but it is the best process experience that they had to get workers' comp. It was easy, it was intuitive. And so I think that when you look at that, we certainly are so excited about that. And again, we have to do some filings and we're continuing to build rating models. So we're only live in about 10 states right now. So we'll expand the states, but the technical work to do that is minimal. So as we continue to go, we think that we don't have to be the expert at Attune in underwriting every product we have. We have one product, our bot product, it's our flagship product. We are an MGA that owns the underwriting there. That's really hard. And thankfully, we're doing okay, right? It's meaning like we haven't yet delivered consistently the loss ratio we want, but we haven't been, terrible either. So we're continuing to go and we're really, really close and we have a great team that does that. But I think it's really interesting when you think about how do you take the core strength of someone like Pinnacle, who, we're now part of, but we're an independent entity, and they're awesome at workers' comp. And how do you take a company like Attune, where we think we have some differentiators when it comes to the way our platform and technology works for these small retail agents that want to serve the small businesses in their community. So it's been awesome. It's been re-energizing for our team. Our team's so excited. And the brokers who have access to it are loving it.
Good. Yeah, and those are the success stories that we like really hearing about, is that that combination of big best in class insurer for a certain area, and then alternative distribution models or alternative ways to get to agents, alternative tools to help agents distribute that. And it's really interesting because Attune's not the new kid on the block from an insurtech perspective, but that's almost like that is the modus operandi of most of the recent investments we see, is very traditional risk-bearing products or distribution. So, I mean, all the businesses we work with, if you'd asked me 2 years ago, it was always some flamboyant SaaS insurtech products. If you ask me now, 90% of our clients are digital agents, digital MGAs. And Jonathan Crystal will hate that, by the way. Every time I use that term, he picks me up on it and goes, you're just talking about MGAs. I know what I mean. It's that, digitally enabled, efficient tech platformed MGAs and MGUs. And that's really where you are. But been around, and I think that's really interesting. You mentioned Pinnacle, and I did want to cover this off. Very publicly bought by Coalition, then subsequently out of Coalition into Pinnacle. I don't think that, that's been public knowledge, and I don't think that's the thing to explore. But what I do want to explore is kind of is the team, and how do you adapt in that environment? And probably secondly, were there changes that you had to make to be successful, having been through those processes? Because I think that's what I think is interesting about, coming out the other side of two transactions like that.
Definitely. So I think that I think what helped us in a very maybe unintentional way was at the beginning of Tune, like we used to talk a lot about this is really hard, the journey that we want to go on. Starting a company from scratch, believing that you can find a customer who needs you and then do something for them better than anyone else, it's really hard. And so we acknowledged that. And what I meant by that is there's a lot of uncertainty, right? We might feel great about something, 6 months into our journey, and then we might find another 6 months later that that was totally wrong. And that's okay. Like, we can't get discouraged by that. And I always tell the teams and the way that I approaching is when you're trying to build a company from scratch and do something that's innovative, you can't get too high and you can't get too low, right? Because it'll be a never ending, up and down. And so I think that, I would say two of our core values and that are so important that helped us get through all of this. And look, the PNC market, the property market, especially over the last 2 to 3 years, has been so hard to navigate. And that is our, that's our core product. But those values were no costumes, which means we want people and we want to build a team where we're hiring you for what you can do. And we believe that you can help us on this journey and that you can make an impact. And we don't want you to have to act differently at work and be someone else that you not isn't your authentic self. Because if you can't be comfortable, we're not going to get the best out of you. And there's no way we can do this really hard thing unless we're getting the best out of everyone on the team. And then the other one was failure is tuition. And this is something where, we had discussions and I said, we have to call out that failure is part of the process. Not that failure is okay, and not that, hey, it's okay, we'll give you a second chance. That's BS, by the way. Failure is part of the process. And if you do not embrace that, because, and the reason why we say it's tuition is it is learning. When you go out and you say, this is the best thing that we think we can do today for our customer. So we then go work exceptionally hard over the next week, month, couple months to do something. And it doesn't work out the way we want it to. That's okay. As long as we learn, as long as it helps us get closer to where that is. And so the reason why I go back to that is because at the end of the day, now where we are going through these two acquisitions, I always joke like, you can assume if you're bought a second time, it didn't go great the first time. And that's on, like that's part of us. Like, but we can acknowledge that there's tuition in that experience. And so, but technology is built by people. And we were lucky enough to acknowledge it was going to be hard. We got people who authentically wanted to take that challenge on, who were resilient, who at the end of the day come to work because they want to have an impact on our customer. And so we've fought through a lot of tough times. And I think that the biggest learning is we had to really focus on, okay, what are we good at? And where have we created what we think is something that's differentiated in the market? And now the exciting thing is with Pinnacle, we've been able to prove that out with the new workers' comp product. And we have a really sort of great interaction with them where they understand we're very different than their core business, and that's why they wanted us, right? So they want us to play to our strengths, and they want us to go out and find ways where we can do really unique things that have nothing to do with workers' comp. Because at the end of the day, this workers' comp product, which is amazing, is one of the many products we have on our shelf. And so that's been really exciting for our team because we feel like, you go through these periods of, quite frankly, what are survival. And there's certainly energy in survival, but it is tiring. But now we're in the spot where we've been able over the last, call it like 3, 6 months, to pick our heads up and find, okay, where should we proactively be trying to tell new people, this is what Attune does, this is what we're really good at. Would love to talk to you about how we might be able to help you with, your customers, your insurance products. And that's been fun. We've just been starting to do that, and we're the early feedback is there's interest, right? No one's banging on our door, but no one's shutting the door on us either, and that's a pretty good spot to be in.
Yeah, there's so much to learn there. I think the failure is tuition thing's brilliant. I mean, it sort of really makes me smile. This is my third iteration of a recruitment business, and by no means am I smashing out the park, but I just make less mistakes than I did the last time.
That's right.
I had the wrong business partner when I first started, and that's not a comment on him. We just wanted different things in the business, so we weren't aligned. So that was always going to cause friction. Second time I tried to do it cheaply. I'll be really honest about that. I was so cheap about everything, salaries, tech. Certainly not doing that this time around. But and then things evolve as you go through. I was watching a talk with Sam Altman the other day, and I always take something with a pinch of salt where someone comes out and says, "We're going to take billions of your dollars, and we don't know whether we're going to make any money." And I reckon I could run a business on that principle. But he was talking about Brian Chesky and him having conversations and saying, Brian used to interview people and say, if you were going to join Airbnb, it would be if you knew you were going to die in a year, would you still join anyway? And only people that said yes, he would take on board. And I think that's a lot to ask in the insurance space, but there is something to be said for saying, I think businesses that go through this and survive almost have to have a cult of personality, and there has to have a genuine kind of actual team ethic to get through that, because otherwise you don't survive. It's that grit and resilience that gets you through. So it says a lot about the business and says a lot about the team, to have those people still in there. So Yeah, it's good. And thank you for entertaining that question because, you know, it was we could have skirted around it definitely, but you could get the politician's answer.
I think you're right,
But
and
as you said,
I
yeah,
would
sorry,
just say,
but
like, I've been blessed for the team. Like, there were nights where I was, just wondering why people stuck around, and I think it was because of exactly what you said. They're resilient by nature, but they still very much believed in our mission and what we could do. And if you think about the seat that you and I both sit in, I mean, you can't get you can't be more fortunate, more blessed than to have a team that feels that way. And so, I just know how lucky I am, but I just want to acknowledge that. So thanks. Sorry. That was a
No, I
little
love
bit
it.
of a
I mean, yeah,
plug for the team, but it's true.
no, no, likewise. And yeah, I can't let you back that to me and not say the same thing. I still come out of work every day. I can't believe these people work in my team.
Yeah.
And it does force you to be better. I'm like, these people are
Absolutely.
some of the best at what they do, and then you go, okay, well then I need to be a lot better at what I do because I think there's room to go. So but before we get all sycophantic of our teams, we should probably go. So, James, thank you so much. I know this we've been on the slate for a while, and thank you for kind of persevering with us and coming back to us because, yeah, I really wanted to have this conversation. And look, I think it's been a really interesting journey, and there's clearly a long road ahead. So, yeah, thank you so much for your time, and I look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thank you. I enjoyed it, and same.